I want to thank the Mishpacha that's sponsoring for the whole year, the Parnas Hashanah, the Shiurim, Lehilui Nishmas, Rav Gedalia ben Rav Shimon, Shomrish Av Neliya, the whole family, Shav Simcha, Nachas, and Bracha. Okay, Bayom Dakacha, we're learning the Maimra on Kedusha, on page Kuf Chaf, one of the Yesodis of Chassidus, of Torah Sabal Shah, is what this little part of the Maimer is about, Les Kaddish Binyani Rishus. Instead of running away from the world on a deeper level, to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything in life, and Ein Oid Milvado. And Mimela on the top of page Kuf Chaf, Kol Dover Ba'olam Sheha Adam Margish Kilu Yesh Bo Eze Tov Mitzad Atzmo V'Rotzo Oso V'Margish Shuhu Ma'anig Oso. However, when a person separates something in this world from Hashem, that's when things begin to fall apart. When a person feels that something has a tov mitzad atzmo, that it has its own independent tov, not a tov of elokus, and he's not looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that experience or that thing that he sees or where he is or whatever that might be. So then, when he wants something separate from Elokuz, and he feels this is going to give me my pleasure, not connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this, but having my own independent personal pleasure as a result of this, that's a pagam in a person's kedusha. It's a pagam in one's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When in truth, everything is a locus, and one can connect to Hashem in everything. But this person wants to take a tannik to himself, a pleasure to himself without Hashem. And that need to experience pleasure without Hashem being in that experience is what causes a detachment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and an insensitivity to Elokus, as we were talking about last week. Well, over time, the person simply loses touch with Hashem. He lives in a world which he's taking for himself, and he doesn't see Hashem. He loses his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al tzarech l'skasha ima v'liyos miyuchadim lo. In everything, all that a person does, this is one of the yesodis of Chassidus. To live every minute with the clear awareness of Ein Od Milvado, that there's nothing, only Hashem. And that is the only Tov, and that's Kirbis Elokim Li Tov. Therefore, we're not only talking about Isser, we're not only talking about things that are forbidden, but things that are permitted. Tzarech lifrosh. A person has to know when to distance himself, to stay away even from some things that are permitted. Tzarech lokid tzarech lahakish ein behem klum, vein behem shum toiv mitzad atzmo. Again, it's a madrega for a person to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through divrei rishus, through things that are not also things that are not a mitzvah, and to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are times that for most people that's already a very big madrega, and there are things that a person should just stay away from, certain hanos of heter that are permissible, and to recognize shein behem klum vein behem shum toiv mitzad atzmam v'im einu nilkalkim kedusha, that if you can't use this in a way of kedusha, in an honest way of kedusha, Then they're separating between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was really the first maimer that we learned on achila, on eating, that we spoke a lot about this avoda. Because when a person takes from this world in a way that is not proper, nifgemes es yachadus amuka, it damages that deep connection. Shenavas mehakarish ein shum dover amiti chutz v'menu yisbarach. It comes from the recognition, the awareness that there really is nothing outside of Hashem. Vein shum toiv chutz meni yisbarach. There is no true toiv chutz meni yisbarach. So, when we were learning about eating, so again, if a person where a person is able to, in the achila, to, like the avoda of tzaddikim achilas we spoke about a lot, there's a very big avoda of being able to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu through achila, through eating and so on. So then, that's that. That intensifies the connection that a person has with Hashem. Ve'en shum toiv chutz min izbar, ki hei machnisim b'leiv shal Yehudi, ki ilu yesh od dvarim l'chiyos imam. But anything that causes a person to feel that he has tov, and he has, and his life is something which is separate from Elokus, for lehenus mehemen to derive pleasure, again, this is a very hard avodah, it's a very big avodah, Navod of tzaddikim, but as we've been learning throughout this sefer, to at least to know what the tachlis is. Zet pegam b'kedusha, b'hainu pegam b'iskashus v'esiachadus Hashem Baruch. So pegam in one's connection to Hashem, and that leads to what we've been learning about in the Yosef Atzadik Chabur for the past few months. So we'll just talk a little bit here about Shemir Sinai, just in the context of this limud about Shemir Sinai, about being conscious of what we're looking at, about our eyes, guarding the eyes. Again, this is only a little bit for those who are part of the Yosef Atzadik Chabur. We've been talking about this a lot, so just here, a drop. Noida Eitz HaKol Oivdei Hashem Yisbarach. It's known to all those who are Oivdei Hashem, or trying to be Avdei Hashem. Sheshmir Yisayinayim Hi Yisod HaAtzlacha. That guarding of one's eyes is the Yisod of one's Atzlacha in all of Avdei Hashem. Shmir Sinai tofeses makom hachi chashuv b'darchei hakedusha, and Shmir Sinai occupies the most important place in the ways of kedusha, and that, of course, as we've been learning about, and that each one of us knows, is the we know how great this avoda is, because this is the greatest nisayon that we have before Mashiach comes. Shmir Sinai, the whole. Why, you know, we're living in a time that the whole technology thing came into our lives. There are some here who still remember what the world was like before all of the internet and all of the computer stuff and the phones and all. And growing up, we thought it was hard enough to try to hold on to what our eyes were seeing. It was difficult. It was enough of a challenge, but. But these days, this is the ikar nisayon before Mashiach comes. This is the biggest nisayon that we have. Is when Shmir Sinai. Rak misha zoch lekadosh es ri'oso. Only a person who works on being mekadosh his eyes, sanctifying his eyes, zoch lehenes meruchnis alakusa is baruch shemo, can truly have a deep connection to spirituality, the Ruchnias. A person whose eyes are fressing on the world and things in this world that he shouldn't be looking at, it's very hard for that person to fress on Elokus, to enjoy godliness, Elokus. V'zorcha lahargish neflos naroz ha-Torah. And when it comes to learning Torah, to truly sense the kedusha of Torah. Listen, there are a lot of smart people, and there are guys who can somehow manage to learn on a high level during the day, and then to sink to a low level at night. You know, there are people that can do that, but they're not connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Torah, and not seeing Hashem in the Torah. They're not getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through that learning. If a person who doesn't wash his eyes, everybody knows this. Anybody who's ever struggled with this, which means all of us, we know that if a person is not careful with what he looks at, he doesn't feel a tam in his davening, in his learning. He doesn't feel a sweetness in any of his avodas Hashem. He can go through it. He continues on. He pushes on. But the sweetness, the mesikus of his Yiddishkeit becomes very, very, very damaged by it. This is one of the things, again, it's not a popular subject to discuss per Rambam, but it's always difficult to make generalizations, but one can see that bichlal, that when it comes to the to our girls and to our women, that you could see that, again, it's hard to make a klal, but if a little bit to one can see that when it comes to davening, that typically by women and by girls, there's much more of a mesikus, much more of an avaida when it comes to tefillah, and other areas of Yiddishkeit as well. It's not because they're on a higher madrega. There's all Jews, and it's not about a matter of madregas. If anything, that there's chaimer and surah, and that in certain ways, a woman is more connected to earthliness than a man in pnimius. Nevertheless, we see that for girls there are many, many things in ruchnius, and where it shows up most clearly is in davening. Again, it's a klal, and all klalim are dangerous, but one can see this, that by women and by girls, and it's not just now, this didn't begin all of a sudden, this is the way it's been. Because when it comes to this inyan of Shemir Seinayim and Kedusha, generally speaking, again, it's a generalization, generally, it's not as great a challenge for women and for girls as it is for men. That lav b'nois hargosha, like the Gemara says, Anita, there's a different sensitivity that they have when it comes to these matters that typically boys and men have, the draw to this when it comes to the eyes, where the woman's eyes might be taken very much by something which is beautiful, something which is in the world that is beautiful, their eyes are not as attracted to Arai in Yonam of Arayis as when it comes to men. And since a Pagam in Shemir Seinayim damages one's sensitivity to Ruchnias, so for many, many more of the men, again, generally speaking, it's davening is a greater challenge and so on. Besides, I'm not talking about just tefillah b'tzibur, that men have to go daven in the minyan, and that's easier for the women to, they don't have to daven in the minyan, but even the tefillahs themselves and the tehillim, who are the biggest tehillim zuggers of the world. Again, it's not fair to generalize, but probably the biggest tehillim zuggers of the world are women and not men. And the koyach of tefillah is a very, very powerful koyach of tefillah. Because in general, davening is the litmus test of the connection that a person has to Kedusha. And when the eyes are badly damaged, it's very hard for them to look in a siddur. It's very, very hard. And even though I'm not saying that in the women's sections of the world are perfect when it comes to decorum during tefillah, but to a large extent, women look on in wonder from the Ezras Nashim, watching how men carry on and are baffled by what goes on. I've had many conversations over the years, not here in the shul, from just some women, that they watch what men are doing in davening in shul, and it's to them that it's very, on so many levels, they just don't understand, like, why would somebody come to shul and do that? And they just can't understand what's going on. Of course, where it comes from is some years of trying to see women on the other side of the mechitza. That's where it comes from, the men seeing what they're doing and how they look. And again, a generalization and being a little bit cynical. But the women are not in the same place when it comes to davening in particular. But other things as well, that they're more sensitive to ruchni is because they don't have this avoda, the same level of avoda when it comes to Shemir Seinayim that men do, the same challenges that the men do. It's very hard for them to understand. Therefore, when a man has a nefila, and this is unfortunately a very common thing, where a man has a nefila with his phone or with whatever, looking at things, and the wife, of course, sees this as a terrible breach in the nemanis and the loyalty of her husband, the faithfulness of her husband, and the husband doesn't look at it like that. The husband can say to his wife, I'm dealing with this all the time. The husband says to the wife, no, I love my wife. It's just, it's a taiva. Taiva leinayim. My eyes have this taiva. It's crazy. You know, it's just a taiva. And the wife says, the wife doesn't understand it. If you really love me, then why do you look at these things? Just that conversation, which is taking place millions and billions of times in the world, and it's taking place right now, and people are probably still fighting late into the night and the early morning over these things. And how could it be that you look at these things if you know the old song says, "I only have eyes for you," right? There was an old song like that. So if you only have eyes, if you really love me, you would only have eyes for me. What's the matter with you? Why are you looking in other places? And the guy says, well, that's how we are. He said, what? What do you mean that's how you are? I don't do that. So why do you do that? This is a very popular conversation. And it's a different challenge. They have their own inyanim that's different inyanim. But this is not as strong when it comes to a woman. And therefore you see that there's a different time in Ruchnius that many women have, that it's harder for men to have that taste of Yiddishkeit and a certain connection to Elokus. And it's not because they have they're more emotional, they're more spiritual. The truth is that they're not more spiritual than men, as I mentioned before. And anybody learned Maharal knows, learned a little bit from Maharal knows that women are from the side of Chomer, Davka, and if you learn the Zohar Kaddish, and Avinu was the Neshama, and Sarimene was the Guf. So it's not because men are less spiritual than women. It's because men are more messed up than women. I mean, it's not so nice to say it that way, but they're just more messed up than women. And that's why they lose a certain taste for Ruchnias. They'll do all their stuff. I mean, they'll keep the mitzvahs and they'll do what they... But again, a generalization, they're... A man who breaks through this inyan of and lives in a world of looking inside instead of looking outside, those are the amshin of the rabbis of the world. Those are the big tzaddikim of the world, the Baba Salis, the Madregas of Kedusha. But it's a huge avodah, and it affects everything in one's avodah Hashem. Everything. Vini b'maimra al taivis. Is Baru Darche Hamilchama. So in the Maimar on Taivis, we learned about the different strategies in this Milchama. Ech lezgabra l'hayetzer, shemefat l'rat, how to be mezgabra on the Ra. Udvarenu kan, heim ba'odim shirvotse v'sameach lishmor. He says, the people that I'm talking to right now are those who want to be careful with their eyes and are happy to do that. But one needs to know how to do this in the right way. And to be careful when it comes to mistakes of the Yetzer. Because we see that here, one of the Chevra pointed out last Sunday after the Yosef Tzadik Chabur, and he's right, that and we'll talk about it in that context and in this context as well, that sometimes a person can become, because we were talking last Sunday about how there was somebody who was visiting, and he shared with me how even though he's trying to be very careful what he looks at, but in his place where he works there's this supervisor, a woman that's an attractive woman, and she wears a certain perfume, and he says, I can't close my nose, right? I can close my eyes, but I can't close my nose. What am I supposed to do? So one of the Chevra, again, a woman would say, if a woman hears that, she's like, you need therapy, you need help. Like, what's wrong with you? But he was just being very, very honest. And halacha does speak about such a thing. So one of the Chevra said afterwards, there's a famous Chinese thing that they say that's very. They used to say it to us in yeshiva. That was that there was some Chinese master that's walking with his student, and there's a woman that's drowning, And Gemara talks about such a situation as well. What a chassid shayta is, right? To let a woman die. So it's a chassid shayta. So you have to save this person. So the master goes, and she's not dressed, she's drowning, whatever. And he brings her to the place, and he saves her, and he puts her down, and saves her life. And they continue walking. And the disciple asks his master, his Rebbe, about, you know, here he was like a holy man. So the master says that the difference between me and you is that I put her down miles ago by the shore and you're still holding her. Right, that's the difference. I put her down. You're still carrying her. So the point that was being made was that when it comes to this avodah of Shemir Seinayim, sometimes if a person is just, his whole thing is he's not going to look, and it's just that simple, just putting your eyes down and not looking, that doesn't mean you're not carrying the person for miles after you've, you know, had your eyes down. That doesn't mean you're not thinking about it. So sometimes the avodah is not to look at the floor, like I told you about. There was the Rabbi Shulev Diskins Rebbetzins. I told you a story in the Yosef Chabura, in the Yosef Tzadik Chabura, that I'll just remind you of this story, that Rabbi Shulev Diskins Rebbetzin was known to be very, very beautiful. And, you know, the Bacham were always careful never to look at her. This is, you know, Yerushalayim in the 1920s. You know. So one time Rabbi Shulev Diskins was giving the shiur, and he forgot he needed his Rashba. And he left it on the table. There was no Rashba there, so he told one of the Bochum, go and tell my Rebbetzin that the Rashba's on the table to bring me my Rashba. So he's davening the whole way. Oh, he's a very nice guy. So this Bochum goes to the house and knocks on the door. And the Rebbetzin comes to the door, and he's looking. He has his eyes down. He says that he says Rebbe needs his Rashba. It's on the table. So she says to him, Bochum, it's better you should look at me and think of the floor than look at the floor and think about me. But that's hard. The Rebbe was saying a good thing. The poor little boy didn't, but she was saying the same thing as the old Chinaman. That, you know, just because you're not looking at me doesn't mean you're not carrying me with you back to the Shia. Right? So the avoda is to be able to be a normal human being and to say, good morning, Rebbetzin, in that way, and could I have the Rashba, and not to carry the Rebbetzin all around for the next 2 weeks or something. Oh, it's easy to say such a thing. Well, the Rebbetzin said a good vart, but she's the Rebbetzin, he's the Bacher. So it's not vayda. So when it comes to strategies, it's not always just with your eyes on the floor. You know, it's a certain consciousness of being able to look. And I've gone so many times over the years with my wife, with my daughters, to meet tzaddikim and speak to tzaddikim. Those that not all tzaddikim would allow women to come in, but I've been zeichet to go over many, many times. And they have a certain way of looking that is friendly and that is not on the ground, but it's looking over, or it's very subtle. And then for a second, it's just very subtle of how they do that. They've perfected a certain art of not hurting another person and not insulting another person, but at the same time, guarding their eyes. It's not an easy thing. It's a very, very, very big avoda how to do that. And we know that from the Gemara, that we have stories of Tanaim and Amoraim and their Kedusha Seinayim. And he said that I look at the, when he would, Rabbi Yochanan would sit by the women coming out from the mikveh. He said, I look at the women like they're white geese. Right. So I was once talking about that. It must be 40 years ago. It was a big NCSY thing, and I was there, and somehow in the shumas that I was giving, I brought up that Gemara, And like one of the guys yelled out, he says, I also look at the girls like white geese. Why do my rabbis give me such a hard time? Like some guy called out from the boys. So I said to him, I said to the guy, whatever, I said, Moshe, you know, the difference between you is when you look at white geese, you think of girls. It's just the opposite way. You know, the rabbi looks at the girls and thinks of white. You look at geese and you think of a girl. And so this is the biggest avoda. This is the biggest avoda. How to do it in a healthy and normal way that doesn't make you crazy. Like, you know, I had this mamish 2 nights ago. I had this from somebody from the shul, a very very wonderful family, where the mother shared with me that the daughter is starting to go out now with shidduchim. And the shadchan said, you have to send your picture with the application for a guy, or they call it a resume. It's like an application. So you have to send your picture. And she said that my daughter does not want to do that. She's very uncomfortable with that. She does not want to send her picture. That she should be a picture. She doesn't know where that's going to go. I mean, ideally it would be, if it has to be done, it would just be the boy's mother that looks and would say to the boy, everything just looks fine, and you should go out and so on. But so my wife was trying to promote that in this discussion that we had that the mother looks at it and again. And it's the same thing, like a guy and a girl. And I said, oh, give me a break. You tell me that the boy doesn't look at this. The mother doesn't show it to the son. And there are situations where they're sitting around the Shabbos table and they pass around the thing, and that could be even another bacha sees this, and my wife is so pure. My wife says to me, "Why you need? She says to me, "It's like a typical thing between a guy and a girl." So my wife, says, "Why do you think that? Why don't you? Maybe just the mother looks at it." And I am saying, "No way! There's just the mother looking at it." This is, and the girl's embarrassed, and she's tsanua, and she doesn't want that this guy's brother, some 14-year-old idiot, is looking at this, and they're talking about her picture, and could even be that his friend that the mother gives it to the boy, and the boy has some of his friends come over, and they're looking, hey, look at Chai Spence, and this Chai Spence, and the girl doesn't want. So you're wondering, what did I advise the? What did I advise the girls? You know, because the mother said that whatever I'll tell her, she'll, you know, if I say that she should do it, she'll do it. But she's not happy. You know, she doesn't want to do it. I said that it's one of the concessions, unfortunately, that we have to make to the sickness of the world that we're living in, and those girls that refuse to do that and they absolutely will not send their picture, so right away, then all the mothers are talking is a red flag. It's a red flag. You know. So my wife said, in the old days, when we were growing up, then they would go to shul, the mother would go to shul, and there was a boy that was suggested, and the mother would go to daven at that shul, and the mother would look across, but to see the girl, you know, in the, she would go, and the other one would look to see in the men's section, to see, you know, the boy, and they weren't sending around pictures, and we managed for thousands of years without... Right, that's hard to do if the girl lives in Canada and the boy lives in New York. But besides that, it's a concession. I'm not happy about that. I don't know what your thoughts are on the subject. It makes me it made me uncomfortable. It was just starting when my daughters were growing up, and I didn't like the whole thing at all. To me, it smacks of something so pressed, and I don't like the whole thing. Yeah, but then my wife Tyne is. If it's a type of a look that this boy absolutely would not go for, then like, why waste this girl's time and why hurt her feelings by going out if it's not going to, you know, all these discussions that are going on, I'm sure, in many, many homes. But to the girl's credit, she felt uncomfortable, you know. But then right away, the family said, oh, she's uncomfortable showing her picture. Oh, it means there's something wrong. There's something wrong. So then the families have to hire like a photographer because they have to make sure that they get the best shot possible, and all of this stuff, and at the same time that the Frum magazines can't have a picture of a 75-year-old Rebbetzin, right? And all of these, it all revolves around this, you know, this sugi of kedusha seinayim, and on the one hand, you oftentimes you're creating too much of a tumult about it, because then it makes it something which is not normal, and how to find a balance. It's a very hard thing. Not to be naive, but at the same time, not to be cynical, and it's very hard. So this is when it comes to the right way of Shemir Seinai. In the Yeshiva Tzadik Chabur, I mentioned that, you know, how it was in the old days. It was a different. And then my father, Zichron Levracha, had a brother, Avram Hirsch, Avram Tzvi, that was a big tzaddik, and he was killed in the war. But my father told me that there were four brothers, and that each one of the brothers would take during a month, had a week. Each one had turns where they would walk with my uncle in the street and hold his arm, because he never looked up from the street. And so each one of the boys had an assignment. They had a week where it was their job to walk him to shul and walk. And what was the street like in the late 20s and early 30s, you know, in Ungvar, you know, what do you think was going on over there? We're not talking about Midtown Manhattan, you know, that even the goyim dressed respectably in those days. So what was it like? But my father said that this brother, Avram Hirsch, would not take his eyes off from, would not look up when he went outside, would not look up from the street. And there were tzaddikim, the Oyev Hashem, and those, there still are people like that in the world. Others would say that's not regular, that's not normal, that's not healthy, and maybe that means you're carrying the woman with you, instead of looking at the ground, you should be looking up. And so this has been going on. You know, it's the same argument over is it right to put a picture in, is it not right to put a picture in? It's all about men's sensitivities and lack of sensitivity, and so on. So it's a difficult sugya. So Beis Tzarech Shelo Lestakel B'Mesha Aser. A person should not look at those things that are forbidden to look at. Ben berachov, whether it's on the street, or ben beisrachakus mochletes me'amachshirim hatameim shebedareinu. And when it comes to looking at things on one's electronic devices, omnom legabe shmir miriyah berachov. So there was a time like by my uncle. And those people, there was a time when the house, when you walked into the house, it was pure. Everything in your own personal life, it was just the street you were worried about. But now with the electronic stuff, there's no such thing as the street is in the house. There's no house anymore. The house is the street. There's no difference between the house and the street. It's the same thing. The house, the street. You could be in your house and you're on some street a million miles away. It's nothing. So there's no such thing. It used to be that you had a home that you came into. Okay, there were guys that were always like trying to hide their magazines under the mattress or something. The mothers would always catch them, you know. I had a friend like this that he was always trying to hide his magazines everywhere, and his mother always caught him. I said, you know, you have to think of some other strategy. It's not working, because his mother got him, and it was always like busting him, you know. So he said, "Can I hide in my yumash?" I said, "No." Yeah, like he had different places in the house. He tried to hide his stuff, but it was, you know, it was quite an avoid to bring the street into the house back then. It started, of course, with the television. It's a bisla, right? But what was it like when there was no television? So my father said that when they started with the radios in Europe. He remembers that the Rav in the shul, the Rav of the city would scream all the time about the radio, the tumma of the radio, that people are listening to goyim on the radio, a tumma, zat tumma, a tumma, and you're not allowed to have a radio, and that's not allowed to have a radio. My father said, this is what they were screaming, we're not having a radio, can you imagine? That's what it was. That poor tzaddik, if he'd see what's going on, to listen to a radio. So, the house is a bein berachov. What's the gishmir miriyah berachov on the street? Avshachov lishmar leinayim. So he says that even though we have to watch our eyes, mekomakam sarach shlo listra v'saolam. we're not, you know, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai he's referring to. So you remember that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came out, he wasn't looking at girls' chasr, he didn't see, he saw men working instead of learning. So you remember, he began to set them up, the whole world on fire. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it back into the cave. So he's borrowing from that Gemara, Rabbi Shimon, and saying that Hashem didn't intend for us to burn the world with our eyes. It was to solicitor for Solomon. In other words, not to make a spectacle of ourselves. And that way of walking and, you know, making it obvious to everybody, you're walking in the street, you know, and you're trying to just manage to go holding on to the sides. I've seen things like this in Yerushalayim, to hold on to the wall because you're not going to look up. Lister for Solomon, to burn the world with your eyes. And the last is called Bamida Nechayna. How to do things Bamida Nechayna. Now, even the Midah Nechona that he talks about is something that's coming from Yishalayim, I understand. So the Midah Nechona is one that we weren't raised with over here, that it should be done in a moderate way, and Ba'ofen HaNechona, the right way. Raderechi, so not to destroy yourself and to make yourself with an abnormal person, and not to insult and hurt other people. That's the trick. Raderechi, L'spalu L'vakish Mashem Esbarach. The first thing is, Davmet Hashem, that you should be able to walk on a street, and you should be able to live in this world, and you should be able to conduct your business, and to live, and so on. And to ask Hashem always, she's Zakei L'Kedusha, to help you. Zakei L'Kedusha. L'Aleches Berchov Ayose Naki. Of course, a person should try to avoid places that are particularly challenging when it comes to where you go, and to stay away from the wrong places. But it's very hard when you're in an office. But at least when you're going places, to stay away from the wrong places. To go Beruchov Ayose Naki, what's the Gemara he brings down from the Gemara? Iki Darka Achrina. But the Gemara says that if you have two paths, and one is a path where there's going to be, where you know there's like really, like it's not nice stuff, and you could go in another path where it's much better, and you choose the wrong path, so the Gemara says that's a Rasha, that's the Midah of a Rasha. The Midah of a Rasha is Iki Darka Achrina. There's another way you could have gone. Maybe it would be a drop longer, a block longer, and you davka went to the place to see things that you shouldn't see, or to be in that place, or those nisyonis. That's the Gemara says. That's a rasha. Ilav onusu. The Gemara says, but sometimes you have no choice. You have to get someplace, and you're walking, you're going somewhere. And I mentioned many times over the years that I saw in a sefer once that when Rabbi Chanan of Asaman said, "Talk of Rasha, the Levracha," that when Rabbi Chanan of Asaman came to America, so they were driving him in New York to raise money for the yeshivas. And again, we're talking about in the 1930s, and they were driving him around, and they were going to the city, because they were coming to the area, I guess, near Midtown somewhere, or near Times Square, and Rabbi Chanan the whole time sits in the car, and he just said, "No, you can't go over here." He felt that you can't, that we're coming to a place where you can't drive, and he says, you have to go around somehow. He felt that this was, that you can't drive through this area. And when he got back to Europe, he said that he felt that, I don't remember the exact number, but he felt that his time in America cost him like 17 months or something like that in Zavadis Hashem. He had a cheshbon. And he didn't look at anything, Rebbe Chan. He was an Ish Kaddish. He didn't look at anything. Just the mitzvahs of being in. So we're thinking, what's the matter, Rabbi Wasserman? We go to work in the city, it's not a problem. Because we don't have those sensitivities. And that was, again, in the 1930s in the city, not now. And he wasn't even looking up. Just the mitzvahs, that being in such a mitzvahs. So, again, the street. So the first thing is to daven and to try to avoid those places that one can avoid. V'libo l'mala v'enav l'mata, b'ofen roi. You should be able to go to good places and the right places, and the heart should be connected to higher things, and the eyes should be lowered in the right way. Da'ina sheyuchal liros matna l'fonav doesn't mean to close your eyes, it means to look where you're going, but you don't have to have the eyes open wide. That's all. Kim lo yistakal klal, yiskal v'yipol. If you're not looking at all, you'll fall. Or you make a whole spectacle of yourself. Av lo yelech b'ofen she'en av m'shaytetos l'stakal b'chol davar. Which we're learning about on Sunday, with the eyes looking on the side and even looking behind. Look, but look where you're going, and not to, to try not to look all over the place, just to try to keep going where you have to. Ze'ikah shmir shol hafker es einayim. That's the main thing. The eyes of a person should not be hefker. And that's something we should think about, even in our madrega, which is so far from what this person was writing this sefer. But the person should stop and think that my eyes should not be hefker. Every one of us has to try to do something to control our eyes, that the eyes should not be hefker. The eyes should not be hefker. I had some parents that came to talk to me this week about their son. And it's the same story every time, that he was doing great. He was learning and stagging and davening and running to shul every morning, and fantastic, and making brachas out loud. And then now, last 2 months, he's not getting up for shul. He doesn't want to talk to us about things. He's like depressed. And it's just, and we all know what that means. It means that he's seen some things. That's what it means. And he doesn't want to get out of bed. He just doesn't want to go to yeshiva anymore. They were telling me he's an unbelievably sincere boy. I think he's like 11th grade. Unbelievably sincere boy. And mashu kara, something happened. And he feels, you know, he's not the type that could just, you know, just go to daven and go to learn. He feels like he's no good. The father said to me that something that the boy, he could barely get a word out of him these days, but he said that something that he said indicates that there's something like that. You know, it's not like he got a bad grade in social studies, you understand? It's not that. And this is what the boys are struggling with. And the more sincere, the more in pain. The more sensitive the boy, the deeper the pain that he's feeling. And so this boy feels like, how am I going to go down if I have seen such things? And this is what's going on. So the avoda is lola hafkir is einayim. Person to be batting 1,000 and never ever to see anything, but lola hafkir is einayim, that to feel a consciousness, to live with a consciousness that my eyes are not hefker, my eyes are not hefker, lola hafkir is einav, and to at least be in the avoda lola hafkir is einav. Vim holach karoi b'chol zos, a person did his best and he went someplace. And because it's nichnas to be yosef dovera, he wasn't looking for it, but he saw something. Ein bo ashma, he's not to be blamed. Upegam klal. It's not, he's not guilty. It's not a pegam. Ki onus rachman apache, onus rachman apache. It wasn't something that he wanted. It was an onus. And that. Category of oinus is these days, and where we live is expanded. Mayasa ben v'layechta. What are the guys supposed to do? So these are not all of these boys. They're not chas v'shalom. They're bad. They're wonderful boys. They're anus, and they have to. The avodah is just to just try. That I shouldn't be hefka, and that's their avodah. But they're not. They don't want to do. They don't want to do something that's not right. But it's onus rachman apache. Ve'ein shleimus b'davaze. With this inyan, ein shleimus b'davaze. Nobody has a perfect record. U'befrap is manenu, especially in our times. V'tafki denu lo l'chapei shleimus. As he's teaching us, we're learning throughout the sefer. The tachlis here is not perfection. We're not talking about big tzaddikim. It's not perfection. It's not perfection. Elal his ameitz kechol yichalteinu. However, it's to try to do better. Lis ameitz kechol yichalteinu. Just to try. To do one's best, to do the best that one can do. And that's the whole message that that this boy needs to hear, is that lo lahafkir seinecha. Don't, your eyes are not hefker. Hashem Zbarach loves you. He knows that the time we're living, this is the time that he put us in, and daven with full knowledge that Hashem Zbarach loves you, and that's not naveir what you did, and so on and so forth, and to try to give chizik to the boys. But this is what you see when you see the guys, that they're just listless and unhappy, and right. This is the bachim that the nisayon that they're going through. And then you see some other types that's the opposite extreme, that they're like always like they look like they're like crazy and high, and they're going through the same thing. That's their way of coping. The opposite extreme. Like act like they're nuts, because there are different ways that there's the one that can't forget and there's the one that can't remember, and they're both acting in ways that are not healthy, this is the avoda. This is what's going on. And here's where the Yetzirah tries to destroy the Avdei Hashem. The Yetzirah says, you see, you saw something, you looked at something, nechshalta. You're no good. Nechshalta, you failed. Because the Yetzirah wants a person to feel shalom matzliach, that he's a lo yuslach. Then this area, in this avodah of kedusha, who lo matzliach. He's not matzliach. And that's the hatzlocha of the other side. That's the hatzlocha of the Eitz Hara, of the Sidrach. For a person, the second, and that's what happened to this boy. He feels shehu lo matzliach. And once he feels that he's a lo yitzlach, then hu kvar mafkir et einav. Then the eyes are already tefke. Benkach hu benkach, ani lo tov, right? This way or that, I'm not good. And since I'm not good, and the Baruch Shalom only likes people who are good, which is not true. The Baruch Shalom loves all Jews, but he thinks that the Baruch Shalom doesn't care about him because he's hulotov, because he saw something that's terrible, and he keeps on carrying this image around now in his head, because the more he doesn't want to think about it, the more he thinks about it, and he sees himself as lo matzliach. Yosef was an ish matzliach. And I'm ish lo matzliach. I'm a person who's not matzliach. Because only Yosef at Tzadik is matzliach. But this little Yosef is a lo matzliach. There's Yosef HaGadol and there's Yosef HaKatan. Yosef HaGadol is an ish matzliach. Yosef HaKatan is a lo yitzlach. It's not true. He's an ish matzliach. An ish matzliach, remember we spoke about this many, many times, we'll end with this now, we'll continue next week, that you see that Lemaisa, really Yaakov Avinu was an ish matzliach, not Yosef HaTzadik, because Yosef HaTzadik in his madrega was nichshol. Something happened. Chazal tells us that even though he never did anything with the wife of Potiphera, v'yonis v'yetzah chutza, but sof kol sof, something happened to him physically. Chazal tells us that something happened to him. So why not bring Yaakov Avinu as being Yaakov Yisoid Olam? Because Yaakov Avinu never had a nechshol. Mitas Shleima and everything. L'roch carry me on. The Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu never failed. Yaakov Avinu never had such an inyan. Yesu Tzadik. And when it says Lasis Malachto, the Gemara says in Soita, Rav and Shmuel, that according to one opinion, he was going home, he was going back to the place, to Davka, to do something with Eishes Potiphar. And yet the Torah calls him Ish Matzliach. So you see that Hatzlocha doesn't mean that you're batting 1,000. Hatzlocha means, the Ish Matzliach means that Atalom Afkir et Einayim Shalcha. It's not Hefke. You're in the Milchama, you're fighting. You're in the war. And when you're in the war, that's called Hatzlocha and Ish Matzliach. Sometimes in one of the skirmishes in one of the battles, you take a hit, but you're in the milchama. That's nishmas there. All right, we'll continue.